954229.
Details of waterboarding, walling, standing up naked, bugs in the same room, and all kinds of techniques when it comes to torture. Shocking CIA memos released. My question is, why? How does this help the United States of America? We'll talk about it, of course, as we go deep here on America Tonight. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, psyched to be with you for four fat hours, and what a terrific show we have for you. That's just one thing we're going to touch on. Of course, a couple of other big things happening around the world, like that nutball Kim Jong-il. You know my list, right? If you've never heard the show, I have a nutball list. He's number two on the list. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is number one. A lot of my colleagues in New York don't agree with me. Sorry, you can extend an olive branch to Ahmadinejad, and I think he breaks it in half and then chuckles behind your back. But that's a story for another day. We're focusing on the number two nutball, Kim Jong-il. And what do you do when he repeatedly kicks sand in your face and ignores whatever sanctions you throw his way? It's full steam ahead for North Korea. We'll dive into that. And, of course, State of Play with Russell Crowe. Movies, movies. Time to review a couple. Got a few extra bucks in your pocket. This is one I think you'll want to see. I saw a bunch of clips. I talked to one of the movie critics I know. Not that I always care what a critic says, because you could talk to any actor, you could talk to any comedian. In fact, there was a great movie I saw recently with Jamie Kennedy that he put together called Heckled. And it was released 2 years ago. And in this, it's really kind of a documentary. In this documentary, they show comedians and talk to actors and other people about the whole heckling thing and as it relates to people who critique movies. And it turns out that the actors' egos and performers' egos bruise pretty easily. So anyway, State of Play, in my book, is probably going to get a big fat thumbs up. I know I'm going to see it this weekend, so I'll have a review for you. Can't wait to do so, and we'll dive into a couple of the other flicks that are out as well. In the meantime, Thanksgiving will never be the same, as I am a huge sports fan. I know many of you are, or at least you probably have watched clips, at least clips of some football games. Thanksgiving without this man, like I said, will be like not eating turkey.
I decided to retire. Heck, I can't even say it, but I decided to retire. And, you know, it's tough because, not because I'm not sure it's the right time. I mean, I really feel strongly that this is the right time, but I'm just going to miss everything about it because, you know, I enjoyed it so much, and it was one of those things, when you get around 70, you have to start thinking, you know, at some point it's going to be over, but I was one that always believed that you never say you're going to retire before you do, because once you say it, then you've already done it in your mind, and you've already quit.
All right, so we know John Madden is not going to pull a Brett Favre and unretire and jump back into the booth. But what a big blow this is for the game of football. You heard him say about turning 70. He's 73. It's his 50th wedding anniversary. It's coming up this fall. He's got five grandkids. And he says, you know, they notice when grandpa's not around because, remember, Madden, who is so the face of football, hates to fly. So he travels in a bus, which adds more time on to going on the road, and a lot of times he'd be away on the East Coast for a bunch of weeks. He wouldn't go back to California because he makes his home outside of San Francisco. So Dick Ebersol, who is the chairman of NBC Sports, has to replace some pretty big shoes. He's already got the guy.
And he looked at me and he said, there's a part of it that's very appetizing, but I learned a long time ago, when you realize that it's time, it's not time for halfway measures, right. It's time for full-time measures. And this means I should come home while everybody in my family has their health and enjoy them. He brought the enjoyment of the game. He didn't bring many of the woes. And most importantly of all, he talked in a very simple, fun way. He's been the best broadcaster for 30. I wonder whether or not there's ever been anybody else who's had that kind of a role for that long. I mean, I think of somebody like Johnny Carson, who I thought was unparalleled in what he did. but that wasn't 40 years. Now, in John's case, there always had been, in my mind, a chance somewhere along the line that he might decide to leave. So at the same time that I hired John, I hired the best young broadcaster in the business, Chris Collinsworth, and for the last 3 years, he's been the star of Football Night in America. And he'll take John's place beginning this fall. And he's great. And at this particular point, though, I don't want to get too bogged down talking about the future. I think it's a good time to have a week of celebrating John Madden.
And I agree. John Madden, his game far exceeds expectations of any other game that's even out there. Even when you throw into the works others like Guitar Hero and stuff, it bursts all the records. I mean, the Madden game is phenomenal, and it's because of his name, and people identify him so much with the game. Maybe you don't know some of the details on his life. Of course, he was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's a layup. You know that would have happened. That was in 2006. He started his pro career. He was a linebacker coach at Oakland in 67. And he became the head coach, I guess he was like 33 or so. So he at the time was the youngest in the American Football League. And, of course, everybody knows the famous pictures with the Raiders, his first Super Bowl win. He retired in 79. And that's when he started his broadcasting career. And, boy, he really took off in the broadcasting booth back in 79. Forever he worked with so many people like Pat Summerall. They were the duo. They were the dynamic duo in the early days. And then he of course, went to Fox, and he became the lead analyst for ABC's Monday Night Football, and then NBC when they started doing the primetime Sunday deal. And here's what I think about Madden, because he's so identified with the game. One, he won't completely go away. In some form, he'll be back or around the game because his entire life he has been. He's just not going to retire and be completely away from it. I know that. But a couple of things. I think it's going to be hard for Chris Collinsworth to fill his shoes, because that's a tall task for anyone. And then here's the other question to football fans. Is Collinsworth the right guy? Did Dick Ebersol pick the right guy? Now, he said he picked the best young broadcaster. Is he the right guy to go in the booth for NBC? And Thanksgiving won't be the same, because it is always Madden, Madden, Madden. I'm going to share a story about John Madden. I have actually two stories with John Madden. One, early in my career, interviewing John Madden on the central coast of California with my mentor, Roger Blaymeyer, at a station called KUHL, outside of a golf tournament. I'll tell that later on America Tonight. And also Pat Summerall graciously doing an interview with me and telling me the best story. And boy, I wish we could play it for you, but the best story I heard about John Madden in the early days. But what a legend. What a legend. So 800-259-5791. Throughout the entire show, you can chime in on this. 800-259-5791. Do you think it was the right time for John Madden to retire? And will football ever really be the same? Will it ever really be the same without him? He won 16 Emmy Awards. Certainly, and this is the deal, he's one of the most recognizable, absolutely, voices in TV, period. They call them Q ratings. His is sky high. We'll continue to talk about Madden, and we're going to talk about this wild CIA torture technique stuff, the memos that were released. The question I always have is why? Even the former CIA director thinks it was a blunder to do it. That's next here on America Tonight.
This year, many of us will have to make the tough decision on what to cut back on and what's essential as we prepare for an uncertain future. In these troubled times, one of the most important things your family can have is good health. Some of the contributors to poor health are parasites, viruses, toxins, and heavy metals. It's a documented fact. 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metals, and high high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is now available to you from freshwaterorganics.com. A 2-month supply starts at just $17. FPP is so affordable, you can't afford to do without. Visit freshwaterorganics.com or call them toll-free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
With our economy spiraling out of control, living in the soup kitchens may be right around the corner. No one saw the financial collapse of 1929. Many didn't make it, and millions ended up in soup lines, becoming vagrants, begging for food. Unlike 1929, we can see this collapse coming. We have been warned, and right now we have a very small window of opportunity to get food storage into our homes before it's too late.
Too late.
Why is the Canadian government telling their citizens to stock up?
Why?
And why are soldiers calling home telling their families to get food storage?
Supplies are running low.
Having food storage today may be just as important to your family's survival as boarding the Ark was in the days of Noah. Order right now and receive free shipping on all one-year supplies. Go to yourfoodstorage.com. That's yourfoodstorage.com. Or call 877-482-FOOD. That's 877-482-FOOD today.
Dozens of these memos, these CIA memos, you probably can too. I'm sure they're loaded onto some of the websites out there. Hello, everybody. Kate Delaney. If you've never heard me before, the show is called America Tonight, and we pretty much go from one corner to the other corner of the earth and everything in between that. So John Madden, one of the big stories as well, the legendary broadcaster, one of the biggest voices, period, household name, everything. This guy now out of the booth. Was it time? That's the other question. You know, Pat Summerall, he started to decline a little bit at the tail end of his career, and I think he finally, I don't think he wanted to go, but it was actually a good thing when Pat went because he was such an esteemed broadcaster and had done as well so many good, incredible games. You know, he had called so many legendary games and had done it, in fact, with John Madden. And once you just hit a certain point, and he seemed to lose it a little bit. And I think that with John Madden, this was the right time. It's like he said, it was the right time for him to step away. But it was so shocking because people hadn't talked about, geez, when is this going to happen eventually in the near future? But I don't think anyone expected it to happen this season. There's so many big things coming up, like the Cowboys with their billion-dollar stadium and so many interesting things going on in the game of football. He will definitely be missed. And now Chris Collinsworth stepping in for him. Is that the right substitution? I like Collinsworth. I mean, we'll see how he does with Al Michaels, but I can't imagine that it would be a bad broadcast. It'll just seem very weird not to have that comfortable voice of John Madden's there beside him. Nothing comfortable, I think, about the CIA torture deal. In fact, I was stunned when so many of the memos were released. Apparently, the president really agonized over this for like a month trying to decide whether it was the right thing to do or not. And there's a deadline looming because there's a lawsuit by the ACLU. So they were released. All of them were released. And here's the thing. There was massive details on the torture techniques. I mentioned a couple right from the get-go. The waterboarding, of course, which we knew about that. This thing called being walled when you're in a tiny space and you're stood up and you're there for, you know, maybe 11 days, shorter than that, whatever, but you're up the entire time and you're in stress positions, stripped naked in front of women and men, deprived of food, all that kind of stuff. So dozens and dozens and dozens of other techniques described. And here's my question, and I mean this. Why release it? Why release it? I understand about the ACLU lawsuit, but this, to me, only does damage. One, to the reputation, everybody gasping around the world, plus it gives information to the bad guys. It would be great if there were no bad guys and the world was only filled with good guys, but you really have to have rose-colored glasses on if you think that. I already mentioned the two guys on my nutball list, and there's more. Hugo Chavez would be on that list as well. Have you heard the comments lately that he said about Barack Obama? He's not liking anybody that's in power in the United States of America, for those who think that he really is a generous soul. Talk to some people who live in Venezuela, and they'll give you a different spin on that. So here's the deal. The former CIA director, Michael Hayden, said it too. He said it's just a mistake to give this valuable information out there so that it can flow all over the place. I mean, I think it was just flat out wrong to do that. And what I want to know is, and I don't know that anyone can answer this question other than the people involved in the torture, did it work? Did it work? You know, John McCain, when he was running for president, when stuff started to come out about the waterboarding and the secret prisons and all this stuff with the CIA, he said emphatically, as somebody who had been a prisoner of war, that torture doesn't work, that you don't get the information that you want out of the people you're torturing. Now, you have to remember the time when this happened. Think about it. We just had Americans killed on our soil. Men, women, children, innocent people. Not military people going war to war, you know, combat zone stuff. No. I mean, we won't relive the whole 9/11 thing, but you know, you get it. The 3,000 dead. The lives, the countless lives ripped apart. Bodies and bones that will never even be found and can't be pieced together. There's still leftover pieces of humans in New York and then buried under that field in Shanksville. And, of course, the Pentagon ripped apart. So was it wrong to release it? I'm saying yes. I'm saying absolutely yes. You know, it's funny, too, because I get the Freedom of Information Act and all that and to be more transparent. And that's, of course, one of the Obama things. Well, we're going to be transparent and let you know. But this didn't happen during the Obama watch. It happened before him. Now, the one smart thing that I will say about this is that they're not prosecuting the agents involved in the torture. And the reason I say that is because, let's face it, they were given carte blanche. They were saying, you know, they're being told to do this. They're being told that this is an order, this is what we're doing, and this is, you know, you could resign, I guess. But other than that, they're given the clearance from people higher up than they are. So I think it would have been wrong to go back and try to prosecute them. I mean, finding out that information that I said, did it work? Did it work? Temperatures were high. We were all furious. Everybody wanted blood. 2002, 2003. And by the way, the suspects were those high-level suspects. You know, 28 of them. Thank goodness that the CIA employees weren't held accountable for what they did. Anybody disagree with that, please give me a jingle at 800-259-5791. And there were a lot of human rights advocates, groups, etc., that wanted to see them, pardon the pun, strung up for what they did, for what happened. that amounted to what people are calling torture. And really, if we even trimmed it down a little bit more, you were talking about 14 high-value terror suspects. You were talking about people killed, blood on the streets, in the three places that I mentioned, and of course everybody thinking that it was going to happen again and the whole bin Laden stuff. So you can understand how this would come about, but then what somebody else will tell you, and this is a conversation I had earlier in the day, yeah, but we're not that nation. We're not the savage nuts that will do whatever we have to do. We're more civilized. That's not America to torture. And it wasn't America that was ripped apart by those attacks either. Shoot me an email, americatonight.net, your thoughts on this. Was it the right thing to do to release this information? I mean, that's the big question. And the question I don't think anyone can answer, but did it work? Dick Cheney, of course, said it worked. He's been in several interviews where he was asked about it when some of the other details were leaked out a long time ago, actually. And he backed up that it worked, and that's, you know, he stood behind it and all that other sort of stuff. And, of course, many other people just fuming over the idea that torture was used. Let me give you some more details on this so you can really decide. And four big memos were released. And again, there was a legal caveat to all of this because the ACLU is involved in a lawsuit, and so there was a deadline and the decision to release it. Then it finally happened after 4 weeks of trying to decide what to do. I mentioned that some of the people were detained, some of the people that were detained were stripped naked for very long periods. They were in those positions that I talked about. They were deprived of solid food. Another thing that happened, and I think we've heard kind of descriptions of this before, using a plastic neck collar to slam the people that were being held into walls, keeping the cell cold for long periods, prolonged shackling, threats to the family, that was used as well. You know, the whole body temperature thing, certainly we know what waterboarding is now. That's that feeling of that you're drowning, that they simulate. And we know that this isn't in effect now. But this gives terrorists a guide, I think, for what they could possibly expect in a CIA interrogation if they were ever approved for use again, which in this administration they wouldn't be because, of course, it's been outlawed. But how dangerous is it to have it out there floating around? Oof. Speaking of torture, coming up next, we're going to speak to a son of a very famous mafiosa. You'll recognize the name when I tell you Johnny the Bat Battaglia, his son Johnny Jr., coming on next here on America Tonight.
Idiot! It's simple!
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of your child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing. Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades.
Hello, I'm Dan Bassmajan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created The Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn and how to ace every test. It's so easy, your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. Call 888-849-6863. That's 888-849-6863. Call 888-849-6863.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Are you embarrassed by your legs? Are your legs sore and irritated? Millions of women suffer from leg pain due to varicose veins. When varicose veins prevent you from living and enjoying your everyday life, You need Venulux. Venulux is a dietary tool formulated to restore naturally beautiful legs from the inside out. As part of your healthy lifestyle, Venulux promotes antioxidant action throughout your body to calm varicose veins and support fit legs for life. Venulux has helped women all over the world relieve varicose vein pain and restore the confidence to bear their legs. Now it's your chance to benefit with Venulux free when you call 1-888-4-FIT-LEG today. That's 1-888-4-FIT-LEG or visit us on the web at 4fitleg.com. And remember, when you call 1-888-4-FIT-LEG, ask how to get your Venulux free. That's 1-888-4-FIT-LEG or visit us on the web at 4fitleg.com.
This year, millions of people will lose electricity. Ice storms, earthquakes, flooding, or hurricanes could leave you without power for days. Anyone that's ever been in a blackout knows that the first thing you need is a flashlight. That's why you need the Packlight. The Packlight is powered by a 9-volt battery and lasts up to 1,200 hours. It's so small, it fits right in your pocket and glows in the dark, making it easy to find when you need it most. One Florida customer says,
"My pack light has lasted through 4 hurricanes in 2 years, over 30 days without electricity, and I'm still using the same battery."
The pack light comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. It's time for you to be prepared with a pack light. Visit us at 9voltlight.com. That's 9voltlight.com. Or call us today, toll-free, at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448. 4448.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hey, listen, I went to school with Gina Gambino. I know all about the Gambino crime family. And the world, of course, fascinated by New Jersey and New York because of the Sopranos and the stranglehold they had on the ratings, frankly, at least in that HBO series, is absolutely incredible, so well done. Joining us now here on America Tonight, Johnny Bennett Battaglia. His father was part of the West Coast Mafia, and boy, he was really entrenched in it when he was a kid, in that whole culture. Think of the stereotypes. When I was on the air at WFAN in New York, I remember a lot of Italian folks didn't like that whole comparison with the Mafia and got really, really upset, and part of that was due to some of the portrayals by the Sopranos, but I've had other people tell me they were dead on. He's got a new book out called Mafia, Cowboys, and Cocktails. You got to love that. You go from the Mafia to being a cowboy. Hey, Johnny, thanks for hanging with us on ATN.
Hi, Kate. How's it going back there?
It's going good, buddy. You know, it's funny that you would know this much better than I, because, of course, your father, very well known, John the Bat Battaglia, and of course you're also the nephew of Charlie Bats Battaglia. Tell everybody, for those who are, I'll say, virgins to the whole Mafia culture, who they were.
Well, yes, you know, first I got to say, Battaglia is good, but Battaglia, the G is
Battaglia.
Solid.
Battaglia,
yeah,
yes.
It's just one of those little things. You know, I'd like to start, if I could, you used to do a sports news talk show in Dallas, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
I'm going to tell you a quick Dallas story about Dad when I was a very, very young boy. He was in Dallas doing syndicating racehorses. I should preface this by saying there were 5 original families, The Bonanno family is the family that my father was affiliated with, and Joe Bonanno was from Sicily, of course, Castellammare, Sicily, and he was one of the five families, and they were basically from New York. They branched out west in the 40s, but Dad was syndicating racehorses, you know, and when you're selling something or syndicating, putting a group of investors together, you're supposed to sell 100%. Yeah, of something. Well, Dad sold usually about 1,000% of different things, you know, and then just kind of let the chips fall where they may after that. Well, he had just promoted a Texas oil man, I remember his name, but I won't say it right now, for $10,000 for a buy-in. And the guy got cold feet, and so he called the Texas Rangers. Well, the Texas Rangers, you know, accosted Dad. They didn't arrest him. They accosted him. And they took his $10,000 in cash, threw him in the trunk of their cruiser for 2 days in the Dallas heat and humidity. And he was in there for 2 days before they came. Then they got him out, and they said, "You got any money on you?" He said, "No, some rednecks took it from me." And they arrested him for vagrancy. They threw him in the drunk tank where he resided for the next week. He was missing, and nobody really knew where he was at until my mom called Jack Dragna, who was the head at that time of the L.A. Mafia, also known as the Mickey Mouse Mafia. That's what the guys back east called it because, you know, hey, Disneyland. But anyway, yeah. So after a week in squalid conditions, you know, this dapper man was finally bailed out after a few calls by Jack Dragna to, are you ready for this? Jack Ruby is the guy who bailed him out, and I corroborated this through jail records.
Wow. That's an incredible story, actually. And you have a ton of them. I mean, you could probably fill up a week's worth of talk radio with the stories and some of the things that you heard and saw, I'm sure, as a kid.
Okay, let's do that.
What was it like growing up around this? Are the stereotypes right on? I've had people tell me they are pretty close.
Well, I'll tell you something. The Sopranos, the only thing that was, you know, really super right on. And Godfather, you know, the Tattaglia family and the Godfather,
yes.
Maybe the greatest film ever made. You know,
yeah.
I may be a little prejudiced, but I think it's one of the greatest films ever made. Tattaglia's in that book were supposedly part of the Battaglias, which is my family, a rough comparison. Also, Johnny Fontaine, and that was supposed to be Frank Sinatra, very much a parallel story to his. And but he went, the character was Johnny Fontaine, who was an amalgamation, people say, of my father, Johnny Battaglia, and his first wife, Jackie Fontaine, who was a major singer and actress at the time. The guys in L.A., the mob in L.A., they were matinee idols almost. Johnny Stompanato dated Lana Turner, and he was nothing but a bodyguard for Mickey Cohen, who was my father's partner in gambling operations. So it was they had a little bit of latitude in Los Angeles, and yet my dad said one time, every time a bird farted, he was called in for questioning.
So it's a little bit different than the East Coast, and that's how it's portrayed. You're right. That's how it's portrayed, especially in The Godfather. Certainly,
correct.
You can see the differences. The difference is there. What about your uncle Charlie? What was Charlie known for, Battaglia? What was he known for?
Right. Well, yeah, thanks for saying it right. Uncle Charlie, he was great to us, you know. He worked for Joe Bonanno in Tucson. Joe Sr. hasn't been gone all that long. He was one of the original five families of the Mafia. I watched Dad play tennis with Joe in Tucson one time, you know, Joe Bonanno. Well, my dad was the captain of the tennis team at Terminal Island Federal Penitentiary in San Pedro on the ocean in Los Angeles. So I've got a picture of him as captain of the tennis team with these hoods. It's hilarious. Anyway, I find it funny. But Uncle Charlie was the real deal. There's a book called The Last Mafioso that Jimmy the Weasel Fratiano wrote before. This was before they changed the law to where you couldn't profit from this sort of thing. Jimmy was on 60 Minutes, and he was one of the, and probably maybe the first and most important mafia turncoat, if you will, best friends with Mom and Dad. Best friends. One time he called me at my mother's house, and I spoke with him while he was in the witness protection program. I spoke with him at length, and he told me about Uncle Charlie who he had nothing to gain or lose by telling me that they were the principals in the whacking of the two Tonys, Tony Brancato and Tony Trombino. It's a very famous mafia hit on the left coast. Uncle Charlie was instrumental in that. Of course, Jimmy painted him as a semi-coward, that he had to yell at him because it was Uncle Charlie's first piece of work. And so he had to yell at him, and then Charlie pulled the trigger. And then later he told me that my uncle had tried to rape his wife in the backseat of a car. So, you know, I think that might have tainted his impression of my uncle somewhat. But, yeah, these were bad, bad guys.
And so you just grew up as a little boy, would you just sort of hear bits and pieces of things, like there was a hit or there was this or, you know, they knocked over a truck?
Yeah, I would. Very intuitive. Now, you got to understand, I was extremely precocious. I was a very precocious youngster. I was aware of my surroundings. I was an old soul. I was an actor and a movie star, and not through my dad's doing, by the way. He was having legal struggles, and when Mom left, we were next-door neighbors on Mulholland Drive in the Hollywood Hills with a gal that danced in all the beach party movies with Frankie and Annette. My great friend Sherry Lampkin, and we decided to hook her and Dad up, her two sons, and Eddie and I started following her to interviews, and I said, I want to do this. And I started getting major motion pictures. I did a lot of acting as a youth, and before Dad got thrown in the penitentiary, and then we moved to a small cowboy community in Oregon, which is the middle part of the book and not even the last. But while we're on the mafia, I remember the day Kennedy was shot and Dad surrounding himself with all the periodicals of the day and talking to people in New Orleans and different places. It's just too heavy and too scary to really even talk about. But he would always sum things up, you know, and almost not to anyone in particular, but to whoever was listening, he would say, Oswald didn't do it.
And it was really?
This was not, you know, this was my interpretation of the thing. Oswald didn't do it. I mean, this is scary, scary, big, big stuff. And I went through the Freedom of Information Act for my book, which is available at Amazon.com. It's really the only place you can get it if you're interested in pursuing one heck of a story.
So in looking at that, when you're talking about the Kennedy stuff,
yes.
Was he alluding to the fact that he thought the mob did it then? He thought it was old Sammy, maybe.
Well, there are people, you know, there are people that have been considered for that job, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and they may well have been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not in a position to say unequivocally.
Right.
I knew some of the people he talked to on that very day, but. You know, this is stuff that I'd like to tread lightly on. And
I understand.
You know, who needs that kind of heat?
Right, I understand.
I've had heat my whole life because of who I am and had this to overcome. And, you know, overcome or, you know, a lot of people that had a dad who was strong, let's say, in the arts or the entertainment or, you know, my dad had a quote. He said it was better to be infamous than not famous at all. I disagree with that totally. Now that I'm 53 years old and have seen the world through the eyes of someone who thought that. And lately, of course, you know, Andy Warhol's mantra, 15 minutes of fame. This is a 15-minute interview, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is your 15 minutes? You have many more. You've had many more 15 minutes of fame, I think, back in the acting days and everything else.
Exactly. And the thing is that, no, I do not agree with that. And, you know, they did a survey here recently where kids were asked what's the most important. I think it was CBS News did a pretty broad interview of what's the most important thing in this life. And they said to be famous.
Oh, I know. I saw that.
Did you?
Oh, isn't that crazy? Hey, Johnny, can you hang on and we'll meet you on the flip side?
I'm going to send somebody out to rough you up.
Thanks, Johnny. Johnny Bennett Battaglia. Coming back on the flip side, because he's got other things to talk about. The whole cowboy deal and finish up with the mob. Oh, my. Hang with us here on ATN.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious tasting chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
If you have over $10,000 in credit card debt, you need to hear this. Have you been watching the banks getting their bailout money and wondering where your relief is? The answer you're looking for is the Bailout Group. The Bailout Group has settled over $100 million in credit card debt for people just like you. The Bailout Group can help cut your debt by up to 60% of its original value, removing those high interest fees and rolling everything into one low monthly payment. And the best part? All GCN listeners qualify for a free 5-minute debt relief consultation. This is the system that credit card companies don't want you to know about. This is a fast, proven, and legal process for your credit card debt concerns. Call the Bailout Group now at 800-324-6554. That's 800-324-6554. Debt relief experts are standing by. You have nothing to lose except your credit card debt. Call 800-324-6554. 800-324-6554 today.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA, unless you trust the government. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We continue our conversation with somebody who grew up with the mafia and somehow went from the mafia, as I said earlier, to ending up going to become a cowboy through a mother's relationship. We'll get to that in a second here. Coming up later, we're going to talk about the CIA interrogation tactics and all that other sort of stuff as well mixed in. Johnny Bennett Battaglia, though, he was his father was a big part of the West Coast Mafia. We've been talking about it. Johnny, thanks for hanging through with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. I bought five products while I was waiting.
The book is called, you're very funny, the book is called Mafia, Cowboys, and Cocktails, and you can get it on Amazon.com. And the great thing is no one's going to break your knuckles. You can just go there and order it, and that's what it is. Hey, so when you grew up as a kid, though, you know how we all, a lot of times we want to emulate our fathers, our family, whatever. Did you want to be really, did you want to be part of the business? Did you want to, like Tony's son in The Sopranos, did you want to be that guy?
Yeah, nobody wants to be Tony's son in The Sopranos. I mean, the guy flunked. He couldn't even commit suicide properly.
True.
You know, but I gotta tell you, those guys were right on The Sopranos. Some of those guys, Paulie and a few of those guys, we had to call all of them uncle when I was growing up. That would be Uncle Paulie, uncle, you know, this was, you know, family. And oh man, they were dynamite, just dynamite. I've never seen anything like it, and mixed in with the music and everything. Did I want to be like that? I wanted to be a movie star. I mean, I saw it. I was around it. Dad was friends with people like Joseph Pasternak, who did the Dr. Zhivago. And, I mean, he was on first-name basis with a lot of these guys because they love to gamble, for one thing. I mean, you know, when you've got that kind of money, what are you going to do with it? You know, and Dad helped him do something with it, and it made it seem fun up until the point where, you know, like Monty Hall, do you remember Let's Make a Deal?
Yeah.
Okay, Monty liked to play the horses. Okay, and he owed Dad a bunch of money, Dad and Mickey Cohen. That's not healthy. He had a show at the time where fathers and sons would get together and ride these golf carts around and get all these prizes and everything. Well, my brother got on the show, my older brother, imagine that. We were in parochial school at St. Ambrose at the time in Los Angeles, and Sister Amata was the greatest shortstop I've ever seen. She was amazing. I think she had wheels on under the habit. Anyway, so they went on there and won thousands and thousands of dollars worth of camping gear, 500-gallon aquariums. You can't even believe what they won. And this was, you know, a nationally televised thing. So did I want to be him? No, I wanted to be a movie star. When I went to college 1 year at the University of Oregon, I decided that wasn't for me. I had the attention span of a wet dish rag. And I went down and visited Uncle Charlie in Tucson in 1975 and asked him, you know, hey, let's do this. Well, he'd recently been just gotten out of Leavenworth for interstate transportation of stolen goods and pinball machines and this kind of thing. So he said, no, son, there's nothing here for you. He suggested I go back to school. And I'd already been to 15 of them. My mother married a very famous rodeo cowboy, and we were at a very impressionable age. And we got involved in the world of rodeo. My brother became a nationally recognized rodeo rider. Bronc riding was his event. We actually produced the livestock and promoted and produced rodeos. So that was kind of the middle portion of my younger life.
And doing that, it's different, obviously, going into the rodeo environment. What did you find? What was that like for you? What was that transition like?
So interesting. You know, I was lucky in a way. It's kind of a young guy's ideal. I mean, we drove tractors and trucks and equipment, and you know, you shot guns, and you know, and they drank beer and chased girls, and it was totally different from the LA. Very respectful, you know. You better do everything right, and you know, I mean, we got so wild they had to rope us to hand us our mail.
Yeah, but I'm pumped. We need a rim shot for that. Yeah, there you go. So you could actually ride, though. I mean, you learned how to do all this stuff. You obviously
got bulls.
Involved.
I rode bulls
yeah.
in the rodeo. Yeah,
wow.
I have a hip now that's bone on bone from it, arthritic. I got slammed into a wall one time at a rodeo on a Brahma bull. And let me tell you, it's no picnic.
What did your dad think of you guys doing that? His sons.
Well, there's a funny link here. Sicilians in Sicily, there was a cowboy element there. You know, they raised livestock and they had cattle and they roped and rode and, you know, there was a cowboy element. And it's an element that Sicilians fit into somehow extremely well. Joe Bonanno had a son, not Bill, but the next one down, can't think of his name. He was and is, to my knowledge, a cowboy. It just, it kind of fits somehow. You know, if you've got that gene where the excitement, the adrenaline is part of your makeup, there's an excitement gene. I don't know what it is. I ain't Dr. Phil.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, you're going to be a jet pilot, you're going to be a stock car racer, you're going to be a rodeo rider, you're going to be a mafioso. So, yeah, cowboy is it's there.
Yeah, the adrenaline rush. I totally get that. So you're raised in this mafia environment. You end up doing the cowboy thing, and then what? Then what's the cocktails?
I have no idea. I was drinking.
Yeah, you just went to the right after that. It was booze. On to the booze. I'm tired now.
No, I was a professional entertainer, singer, songwriter, musician for quite a few years, and I traveled around. And you know, I love to make people laugh, but I did it mainly at my own expense. I did a lot of things. I did a lot more acting. I got charted with records. I did a lot of things, but mainly I was a champion at the watching myself. You know, I had no problem with, I never wanted to be better than anybody. I always wanted to be liked. So I found the lowest common denominator and tried to take it down one notch. You know, I used to tell people I didn't have a drinking problem. Drinking had my problems. I made light of it. You know, I said, I've never, you know, people say you got to hit rock bottom. I just keep lowering the rocks. You know, I had a lot of things, a lot of issues, you know, and from my childhood, you know, my mom shot my dad in the guts. That's where the book opens. My book opens right with my mother shooting my dad in the Hollywood Hills. I'm like 6 or 7 years old. And the next thing I see, this is where my book opens. Dad being hauled out of the house on a stretcher with enough people to form a human chain around the house and hold hands. I mean, the paper said there were 50 police enforcement there, and this was before SWAT, where I'm sure they'd have been there, along with the state militia and ladies auxiliary, post 309. You know, I mean, it's so big, you had to have some sort of catharsis, and either that or ignore it. I ignored it through drinking. This is my catharsis.
Yeah, I gotcha. Interesting stuff. Mafia, Cowboys, and Cocktails. Johnny Battaglia, I wish you the best with this book. You're a very funny guy. You got to come back on with us, okay?
If you insist.
If I insist. We're trying to give you 25 minutes of fame. Forget the 15.
Okay, I'll take your 25 and raise you 25. What do you say?
Hey, I'm a gambler. I like it. I'll do it.
Really?
I'll take it. Yeah, oh, yeah. Thanks, Johnny. That's great. Thanks. You appreciate it, man.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
All right, you take care. And again, interesting stories in sharing there with his father was a very famous man, certainly from a famous family, as he was weaving into some of the stories. And the last story telling you that he was just a kid when his father was shot by his mother, and that was a big story in Los Angeles, certainly. But the mafia had tentacles all over the place. In fact, I just read a story where there are 26 specific cities in the United States where there's still serious mafia ties that go through the Italian route. I mean, there's other forms of mafia, and you could pin other stereotypes to it, but strictly Sicily, ties from Sicily, ties from Italy. You got 26 big cities. Can you guess what those cities are? If you were thinking, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, that would be a couple of them on the list. Just say that. There's some big hints for you. If you were thinking Chicago, perhaps parts of Florida, that would also work as well. Anyway, in the book, it's interesting because he talks about some of the real specific things that he overheard and some of what it was like to grow up where things fall off the truck and you pretty much get anything you want. You heard him tell that Monty Hall story just there. Interesting stuff, good stuff. Reminds me of watching The Sopranos. Ooh, I was hooked into that series. Don't know about you guys. Hey, you can shoot me an email, day or night, americatonight.net.